Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets and the markets and events that affect precious metals. Miles and Rob are in the studio today. Miles, get us caught up, buddy.
I was going to say, which one's Miles and which one's Rob? Because there's only two of us.
That's it.
Tori's on a trip this week. So since Tori's gone, we're going to do heavy charting this week because he always wants to do a lot of charting. And I like to take that away from him when he's in the studio. So I think we had a great conversation last week. But with some pullbacks in the markets across the board, I think it's time to take a little bit of a deeper look here. So here we go, Rob. Let's start off with gold. Gold, not as bad as you might think. It's down about 0.5% from our recording last week. Now, we did have some ups and downs, which we'll dig into a little bit later. But currently sitting above that 2,900, we're at 2,918. At time of recording, and as mentioned, down about 0.6% from our recording last Wednesday. Silver, not to be outdone. In fact, quite a bit of not to be outdone. Silver's off 3% just in this past week. However, it's still sitting pretty firm at 3180. So silver's still looking pretty strong after a big move up. Obviously, bigger they are, harder they fall. And a pretty healthy pullback to some Fib numbers we'll glance at here in a moment as well. Platinum kind of right in the middle, down 1.8% at $966 an ounce. And palladium, the sister metal to platinum, this is where it gets kind of fun, down 7.25% in the last week to 921. Now, you'd assume with the gold coming down, the S&P would be also down, down about 3% to 5950. So the S&P is down. So if the S&P is down, Rob, and the metals are down, that would make the dollar what?
Should be stronger, and it's a little bit up today.
It's about dead even from our Wednesday recording. It is up a little bit today. So it's actually down from our recording last week about 0.4% at around 106.5. So where'd the money go, Rob? Everything's down, everything that we look at. Where's the money, Rob?
Well, it's not in Bitcoin. Bitcoin got hammered. I guess some North Koreans hacked into one of the exchanges. Just in the last week alone, Bitcoin is down 13% just in a week. So it's not there. Treasury yields are down, so it does look like money's moving into treasuries. That's what happens when you have a inflow of money, the yields drop. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, I was reading earlier today some chatter about the sovereign wealth fund that this government wants to put in place. They are talking about a little bit of gold, a little bit of crypto, a lot of natural resources and infrastructure. So people, they're going to be given an option, apparently, that they can move some of their treasuries into 100-year-old sovereign wealth bonds and receive income from that. It kind of reminds me a lot of what our wealth management team does because that's what they invest in.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you, where'd they get that idea from?
I know.
Could it be Dave McIlvaney and Morgan Lewis over at McIlvaney Wealth Management, perhaps?
It's just like a page out of their playbook. So that, to me, is encouraging. Because like we mentioned last week, you know, we owe $36 trillion. $28 trillion has to be refinanced in the next 4 years. So this is a way for people to exit a treasury position or some of their treasuries and move it into natural resources, energy, agriculture, real estate, you name it, real things, as opposed to having their three-month T-bill turned into a 30-year treasury bond. That was brought up many years ago as a way of getting out from under the refinance burden. So I am very encouraged at this administration's creativity.
Yeah, I think what you're looking at there is that's also going to bring probably new money into those market sectors, especially things like precious metals, because we've been doing this a long time, Rob. I would argue the average guy who traditionally invests in things like gold and silver, real estate, so on and so forth, or at least agriculture, the way that we invest and has the mindset that we do, they're probably more inclined to do it themselves versus go into a government-sponsored fund that does it for them. So what's neat about this program is it's probably not going to be taking money away from the existing gold market. In fact, quite the opposite, because if they're looking at things, you know, bringing it back to what we're looking at right now on the metal side, we last week just had a long show talking about the astronomical amount of movement in the gold market over the last couple of months. Yeah. And couple that on top of potential audits taking place at Fort Knox that everybody has been asking for decades, may or may not be happening. We'll have to see if something like that actually does happen. But then you bring a small position into the sovereign wealth fund, which isn't going to take money out of the hands of traditional gold investors, but it is going to probably bring some institutional money in. That's a lot of gold buying we may see over the next couple of years. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the outlook for gold is so good. And let's talk about the gold action. You referred to it a minute ago. 2,900 is looking like a pretty solid floor. We dipped below that a couple of times. Tell me how you analyze that.
So, you know, big thing for me is always kind of looking at things in time frames. Like, what has been just the most recent push? Where does that fit into sort of your current market bull or bear over the period of X number of months to years? And then where does that medium-term picture fit into the long-term market undulations? So if you just look at really the short-term market here, which is sort of this year in gold, bottoming out after the election last November, not something we talked about a couple of months ago, right? You get a run-up leading into the election, uncertainty. When you have a Democratic victory, you tend to see gold go up following the election, regardless of the previous trend. When you have a conservative victory, you tend to have a gold decline for a number of months following the election. But I think it's fair to say that given the strength that the gold market has had for the last couple of years, the decline in gold was pretty insignificant. What was it? 7-8% total, and it was done by mid-December.
Yeah.
Historically, we go back to 2016, previous Trump victory. Gold is just bottoming out about now in February and March, down 12-13%. This time around, it only came down 7%. So not only that, we've already turned around and put in new highs. So if you just take the short-term move, which started in about middle of December, gold's gone from a little under 2,600, 2,590, all the way up to 2,955. So a pretty significant move up in just a couple months' time, and bringing us to almost a 50% rise in the last 12 months. Mm-hmm. So gold's a little bit out of control. You know, it hasn't gone parabolic, but the move has been incredibly strong. So we look at a decline like this. Well, here's kind of the way I'm looking at it. The most recent low, if you look at this stair step over the last couple months, the most recent low was February 14th, 2883. We haven't gotten to that yet. The one before that, 2850. We certainly haven't gotten to that yet. And you have to get all the way down to about 2816 just to get to your first real Fibonacci correction level. So we could see another $100 decline in gold here, and it's still incredibly bullish. Mm-hmm. So that just tells you just how much strength the gold market has had since December and how much up momentum we've had. So don't be surprised if you see some decent opportunity in here. Now, you couple that on top of what we discussed last week with the institutional buying of large-scale gold, and the fact that the average American investor, the retail investor, hasn't really gotten involved yet, there could be some pretty nice deals here. Now, I know I keep saying that every couple of years, but the deals used to be at 2,400, and before that they were at 2,000, and before that they were at 1,600, and you can keep going down the list. So there's always a deal when you're patient and you work with an advisor that pays attention to this stuff. This is why we like to get this info out to people, that allow you to make those incremental purchases over time and kind of keep stacking ounces appropriately.
Well, I keep looking at the big players, the movement of gold, people taking delivery. There's three ways to look at the gold market. We've talked about this in the past. There's the technicals, like you're talking about, and then there are the seasonals, okay? That's another way of looking at the gold market. And then there's the fundamentals, the overall big picture that drives the market. But when you just look at the seasonal aspect of gold, springtime, these last few years, that's where we've seen the big numbers hit. So we're moving into spring, so I would not be sitting on your hands waiting for the best deal. I would begin a dollar cost averaging, or just go ahead and hold your nose and buy, because we know seasonality, spring, that's the hot market.
So moving that same conversation over to silver, now I do think silver is sort of the chart to look at this week, because I will tell you I'm about 50 cents away from moving some money into silver myself that I've been parked on for a while. Now, unfortunately for me, I've been parked on it for a while from the standpoint of I should have just bought it when I wanted to, because it would have been cheaper than what my new target is. But, which just goes to show you, you're not smarter than the market. You might as well just be consistent, but that's a different conversation. So, but the silver chart is beautiful. And this is backing us out over, say, the last year or so, as silver's been making this just fantastic stair step pattern up. So Tory, who's not with us this week, but he had a presentation he was putting together and asked me to do a couple charts for him a few days ago. So I started digging into the silver chart over the last 6-8 months that we'll kind of build here on the show. And what I found is in that short term, you know, talking about that time frame, Rob, again, that I just was, in that short term, silver has already taken about a 50% retracement. You're looking at the bull market back starting around January, end of December, beginning of January, down at like 29.16, running up to 33 and change, and taking a little interim step back down here, we're down about 50%. Now, if I zoom this chart back out here, and we go back and we kind of look all the way back when we peaked in May of last year, at around 32.50 before the long pullback, we built this beautiful two-step forward, one-step backwards channel rising. That's looking pretty hard to argue with. And the fun thing for me is within that channel, you can sort of see a ceiling develop back around like May, June, July of last year. We retouched it again in the middle of July before it broke down. Then we came up, we pushed up above it, came back down, traded up and down above it till we came back down to that December low I just talked about. Now we've pushed back above it again, and I think that we're going to see silver place its foot pretty firmly somewhere between around 30.75 and 31 and a quarter. Okay. So $31, give or take 25, 50 cents on either side of that.
Okay.
It lines up with fib levels from multiple time frames. It lines up with just some support and resistance we saw over the last 12 months. And on top of that, even if it breaks through that, we've still got this year-long rising trendline floor that's supporting silver. So silver being down pretty strong this week, when all you got to do is take a step away from the tree you got your forehead pressed against and look at the whole forest. I mean, silver is stair-stepping aggressively and holding its own with gold.
It is.
You know, it's everybody wants silver to go back to 30, 40, 50 to 1 with gold, and it will. But we've talked about when that happens too. So from this standpoint, I could care less what the price of gold or silver is in terms of dollars, because I care what the price of gold is in terms of silver, or in terms of apples, or in terms of gallons of gas. And those ratios are what really matters, because I don't care about money for the sake of money. I care about money for the sake of what I can turn it into. And I still think silver is going to continue to provide us that opportunity.
Good, because I know there's a lot of people that are heavy in silver, and they've been listening to other people, not necessarily us. I mean, we like silver, but we love gold. And they're heavy in silver, and they're just waiting and waiting and waiting, and it never seems to happen. And I pray that this is the year.
Yeah, it would be nice. I actually disagree with you. I don't want this year to be the year because I've still got some more buying to do personally. but no, I'm all for it. Anytime the gold-silver ratio wants to realign, all that really means is I just get to own more gold. So yeah. I think your concept of we love gold, we like silver. We mm-hmm. like silver because it lets us get more of the thing we love.
Yeah, I agree.
So I like driving. I love my wife. My car gets me to my wife. Same concept. So because we're across the board down, maybe we do take a little look at the S&P. I don't know if I have a lot charting here to look at because we've continued to put in higher highs going back to what, forever ago? When was our last lower high? Let's see here. It was October of 2023. As I zoom the chart out here. So even though the S&P is down a fair bit here over the last week, we haven't really put anything that signals a lower low or a lower high quite yet. Although we're getting close, and certainly the higher highs have started to flatten out a little bit, which argues for something that resembles a topping action. Now, that doesn't mean it's a reversal. We could just stall here in the S&P for a few months and let it kind of catch its breath. Same thing I'm expecting to see the gold market do. But Rob, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of waiting for that next catalyst that sends things into the stratosphere. We're really on edge. We talked about this last week, the idea that there's so much moving around in the gold market right now that it's really only going to take one catalyst to kind of break the whole system. And that's when gold disappears. And you could argue the same for the equities market. It really would just take one catalyst.
Well, you can argue that that's happening now. There's so much gold being taken out of the exchanges. Are we faced with a no-offer market where there's no gold for sale? We've been there before.
Yeah, we're not there yet. We definitely still have some in our coffers as a company, and I know our competitors do as well, and wholesalers and everybody. But it is remarkable how quickly that can shift. Yeah. So I don't know, looking at the equities market right now, I don't know what that catalyst could be. You know, last time the 2008 market crash was the whole derivatives market pileup and the computer trading that caused the whole system to kind of melt down and everybody start selling into themselves. It doesn't have to be that. It could be something else.
I don't think we're going to see that. There's so much optimism with this new administration on Wall Street. They're so excited about the potential for reinvigorating our industrial complex and getting a handle on government waste and fraud. I think people are, in a way, very excited. I do think the price to earnings ratio on Wall Street is excessive, but it looks like it could get even crazier.
Sure.
The optimism is there.
Well, what's our Dow gold ratio at now? Like 16, 17 to 1?
Yeah, 16.
You've seen 35.
I've seen 44.
Yeah. So it absolutely could get worse before things get better.
Yeah.
I'd much rather see 7 or 5.
Well, then it's so time to start selling
your
gold.
It's time to buy some stocks.
And time to buy some stocks, yeah.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we're kind of sitting in no man's land. You know, 16, 17, I don't want to buy the equities market at 17 PE ratio.
You know, you're talking 17 price to gold ratio.
Or yeah, price to gold ratio.
Dow gold
excuse
ratio,
me.
Yeah.
Dow gold ratio. Thank you.
Yeah, because PE ratios are a lot higher than 17.
Yeah, that's a different conversation. Dow gold ratio at 17 to 1. I don't really want to sell out my stock positions I have because I do follow our triangle concept. I do still own equities and I own real estate and I own everything but bonds or crypto. I don't buy crypto either, but that's a different conversation. And we just lost a few listeners because I said that. But I'm kind of at the point where like the Dow gold ratio really isn't at a point where I want to load up on my gold and close my equities position, but it's not at the point where I want to sell my gold and move more into equities.
Right.
So I think it's a time for balance right now and time for having that grander plan that we try to build with clients where we're looking at gold as a piece of a puzzle, not a replacement for anything.
Yeah, and balance is the key. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rob, I think that kind of does it for me this week.
Yep, I am good.
with these pullbacks this week, I always kind of get excited to see what's around the corner. So I'm hoping over the next couple of weeks, we'll have some really interesting chart stuff to dig into. And with silver already making those pushes down to fib levels, maybe we see gold follow suit. Maybe the S&P comes down with it. But I think I agree with you. I think this is a, let's say, a treading water market right now. And I think that that can be a healthy market too. You have a push, then you catch your breath for a little bit. And there's a lot of changes taking place here in the U.S. politically on down. So we'll see how this plays out. But in the meantime, just remember the people who have a lot more money than you and I do are making big decisions right now.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not a bad time to sit down and chat with somebody and see if there's some big decisions worth making or not for yourself also. So as always, we appreciate you joining us this week at Golden Rule Radio. Feel free to swing by our website if you'd like some more information. You can find us at McIlvaney.com. We're also on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And if you'd like to sit down and chat about your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and hope you have a great week.